Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Red Oldham, and you are on Talk Manchester United with the St. Louis Red Army. We have the usual suspects with us this evening. We have P.K. Patrick Kelly. We have Ryan Kazout. We have Matt Hutchinson. And we have a Jordy in the house. We have Dane Watkins with us this evening. And so we're really excited to bring you a full slate of stuff. Holy cow, it's international break. But, man, oh, man, do we have so much to talk about. And I cannot wait. All right, to talk to you you guys about what's going on here, not only with Manchester United, but what happened with Newcastle and where they're going to be going from there. As you know, we start the show off with a date in Manchester United history. On October 11th, 1919, Manchester United and Manchester City play their first of two back-to-back clashes. They lock horns at City's ground at Hyde Road, Ardwick, for a six-goal Football League First Division thriller with James Hodge, Fred Hopkins, and Joe Spence grabbing the goals in a 3-3 draw. So I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. One of the guys that scores is this guy named Joe Spence, and he went on to make more than 500 appearances for the club, top scorer in the league for United that season with 14 as the Reds finished 12th. Guys, how you all doing this evening? I think we've got some local stuff that we're really excited about. What do you think?
It's been a good couple of days. Very good couple of days.
I would say so. So, hey, let's start off with this. Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming back to Manchester United in January. All right, Matt, do you think this is just smoke and mirrors? They say it's not for the goals, but for the locker room presence. Matt Hutchinson, is this a real deal?
I would take him back in a heartbeat. You know, his energy and just his absolute desire to do everything to win is what we need right now. He has shown that he likes to work with the younger players, so even if it's just to hang around, be there, work on drills with guys like Rashford, Martial, and show him what a finisher looks like, bring him back.
PK, what do you say?
100%, let's do it. I love the guy. He's great even at his age. I think he can that's what the locker room needs. It's been a troubled couple of weeks. You bring a guy with a smile and a nose the size of a smile. Let's do it. Let's bring him back.
Hey, Wayne Rooney came out just yesterday and said, hey, let's get off of Jose Mourinho here because it's the players, not the gaffer. Do you agree with Wayne Rooney? What do you think of Rooney's comments about Jose Mourinho?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Wayne Rooney, and then I think we all saw the that crazy interview that Gary Neville had as well. I'm just his comments at halftime, one of his spots. I am still somehow back Jose, so I'm thinking we're going to, you know, the times hopefully are turning, the tides are turning, Jose all the way.
All right. Hey, Dane, I'm going to switch it to Newcastle just for a second here. Newcastle going through a horrible stretch right now. Is Rafa good for the season, or do you think he's looking for another job?
Just really quick, I do think Rafa will stay through the end of the year. If he was going to leave before his contract expires, which is in June or July, I think he's had ample of chances to go. The fact that he stuck around this long tells me he'll stick out the rest of the year. But having said that, will his representatives be looking elsewhere? Yeah, I'm very much afraid that that's the case.
No doubt. I think if Zlatan would want to go back to Newcastle, Dane, I think Newcastle would just be falling all over themselves right now, because even if he just stood on that other side of the pitch with your striker woes, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I mean, he could have the number 9 shirt. It'd be the most exciting signing we've had since Michael Owen, which is a sad, horrible thing to say, but no, even the guy who, like, changes Zlatan's laundry would be good. to have up top for Newcastle right now.
Hey, PK, man, I'm looking at the next six fixtures for Manchester United. Chelsea away, Juventus at home, Everton at home, a strong Bournemouth side away in that cracker box down south, Juventus away, Manchester City away. We're going to find out what the boys in red are all about right now. What do you think?
I think so. There's always a period of the season where it's you make or break your team. You decide how the team's going to go. I like that the games, a majority of them are away. You look at our streak at the beginning of the season, they were all away games. I think they feel the pressure at home. I think they feel they play a little tight at home. The fact that these games are all away right now and, you know, travel, bonding with the team, things like that, I think it's better for the team that they're away for this stretch.
You know, PK, I think you bring up a great point, especially considering all the construction going around Old Trafford when they got to the match at Newcastle, what they got there 7 hours before the match started or something like that. It was an ungodly amount of time because they thought of the road construction. But, Matt, this fixture right here, when you look at these fixtures, I mean, I think it would be easy to overlook Everton and Bournemouth, but they are really in form right now. What are your thoughts on those two guys?
No, they're definitely going to be tough. Everton's got a strong side this year. They're looking pretty good. You know, at least we got them home, but it's a regional rivalry. It's not as important as us playing Liverpool, but you know, they are based out of Liverpool. So there's always, you know, the two sides are always up for that game, and it's a big one. And then Bournemouth's been playing really well this year, and that's certainly a tough place to play away from home. So there is not an easy game, and those two games are certainly not a break in the middle whatsoever.
Ryan, I was reading where Michael Carrick said he left his heart in Tehran when they lost to Juventus. The old lady coming to Old Trafford with maybe one of the greatest strikers of all time, Ronaldo, coming to Old Trafford and going back to Italy. What are your thoughts on Juventus and Manchester United?
It's always very exciting to see Cristiano Ronaldo come back home. I remember last year, the year before, even when he scored, he didn't celebrate. He showed absolute respect. He loves the club. Obviously, we know that he definitely looked at Sir Alex Ferguson as a father figure, getting him through a tough time when his father died, letting him go to his dad's funeral and everything. So it's going to be very exciting. This is a crazy, crazy 4-week spell. It's kind of sad to talk about, though, but right now we're kind of just not looking at a title, looking to stay top four, so need to try and get maximum points from this Premier League, and hopefully we can snatch a point and maybe even snatch three at home against Juventus.
Dane, we have Chelsea and Manchester City left. Both teams are playing just sky-high, great form. Out of those two teams, which one do you think is the best right now?
I still think it's Manchester City. Chelsea have made a really, really good start to the season, and I think that they're much more formidable than I would have reckoned at the start, but I still think Manchester City. They have so much depth in quality that it's not just their starting 11; it's their whole 22 that are scary. Now I know Man United had some success against Man City last year, but if I was just looking at that run of fixtures, I mean that's the one that I mean they're all tough, but Manchester City I still think are a cut above everybody else. Possibly Liverpool giving them some trouble this year, but
that's right. Okay,
Chelsea,
I hear you.
Between Chelsea and City, I still think City.
PK, we're going to move on now, and I want to start with you. That Newcastle United game was certainly a Dickens novel. I probably should have stuck with Dane, him being the literary expert here on the panel, but it was certainly the worst of times, the best of times in reverse, but it certainly was that. And so, but I want to start with the first half with you, PK, and Eric Bailly, who we have just been clamoring for, please play, please play, brought off in the 19th minute. Is Bailly done at Manchester United?
No. I think that was more tactical. I think you needed numbers in the midfield. He was the logical one to take off, trying to put numbers in the midfield. So I that was expected. To be all full honest, I expected after we went down 2-0,
We needed to pull a back off and put an attacking field player on. So was it anything against Bailly? No. I think that was the situation of the game and the call that needed to be done.
Matt, does Lindelof need to see the pitch here that in the back line for Manchester United?
I don't know what he needs right now. You know, you want guys to be able to get it sorted out sometimes and let them play and work through it, but I just think he's become such a liability that maybe some time away and just knowing he's not going to play for a while and work on practice playing with the reserve team and trying to find himself over here is what he needs. So I don't think playing him right now is our best decision. I think it's time to maybe just let him play with reserves and sort it out there.
Hey, Ryan, we keep talking about the lack of goal scoring. First half, how many chances can you miss? Rashford's header, Matic with a sitter, Martial had his opportunities. Somebody's got to put the ball in the back of the net, don't you think, Ryan?
Well, first quality chance, there's a beautiful ball from Lukaku. I mean, Brett, we were kind of talking about this off air before the show, how somehow a huge Belgian is our best crosser of the ball when he should be in the box receiving service. But that was right on Rashford's head. I mean, you've got to put these chances away. When Juventus comes calling, we may only get one or two opportunities like that. And besides for the second half, which we scored goals like Martial's goal, which he had no business of doing, it's kind of a daunting thought. If we can't put easy chances like that away.
I tend to agree with you on that. Dane, we're talking about our defense. But, boy, Kennedy's goal was a pretty one, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Both of the goals I thought were very well taken. But from the Manchester United perspective, it's hard to look past some of the really just shambolic defending. Bailly was the one who got taken off, but I thought Smalling and Young had a really rough game too. I mean, on Kennedy's goal, yes, it's an excellent goal. He does really well to beat De Gea, but I mean, Young is nowhere to be found. And then on the second one, Mudo's given all sorts of time and space in the box. I mean, yes, he does very well, but I was shocked from having not watched as much Man United this year to basically see how open they were, especially in those first 20, 25 minutes.
Dane, what a great segue. Jump in, PK.
And
go
I
right
agree.
Ahead. I was getting ready to ask you something.
No, I was going to say, I agree with Dane 100%. The first goal was just lack of communication between the two center backs. In the stadium like that, it's kind of hard to hear each other, but they're close enough where, hey, there's a runner on your shoulder, and that's a through ball, and they score. It just comes down to having a boggle of who's going to be in the center backs because we keep switching them out. And the guys just need to play together and work through those tough moments like we did on Sunday.
PK, I was just going to ask you, though, there's a huge gap between the midfield and the back line. And, man, Newcastle United just really took advantage of that in the early stages of the match. Did you see that as well?
Yeah, and Tim Lees, who is he used to be the academy director for St. Louis Scott Gallagher, he went back to England. He was with Liverpool for a while. I won't hold that against him. But he had a great thing on his Twitter breaking down the offense and the defense of Man U. And that's what happens. Soccer, I forgot who said it, but it's a simple game. If there's space, you get into it. Whether it's offense or defense, that's what you do. And when you have lines separated like that, you leave yourself exposed for two-on-one, one-on-one, and just no coverage. And that's what we started slipping into. We've been doing it all season, and they exposed us early for it.
All right, Matt, the defense has been disjointed. Dare I say that we are missing Phil Jones, always believe in Phil Jones?
The only criticism I've ever really had with Phil Jones is his inability to stay healthy. Like, the guy needs to be wrapped up in plastic bubble wrap when he's out there practice and maybe even during the game. So the past couple years when he's been on the pitch, he's actually been one of our better defenders. So I think we do actually miss him. I like seeing him and Smalling paired together. I think they've done well in the past, especially in some big games. So hopefully he can get healthy and get back out there for us.
All right. So, PK, or Ryan, I want you to jump in on this. What is Manchester United's identity? I feel like every match, that when we go in there, I don't know what formation they're going to play. And Jose Mourinho changes it every week. What is our identity right now?
I mean, that question's been asked time and time again and almost every week on this pod. I don't know what it is. I know in the second half, when he practically dropped Pogba to a center back, having him play quarterback, something seemed to open up. Something seemed to work. The transitions were definitely a heck of a lot quicker when we got the ball up into their end of the park. Instead of 6, 7, 8 passes backwards, forwards, sideways, they were getting balls into the box quickly, transitioning quickly. That goal that Martial scored with Pogba was an absolute thing of beauty. You finally saw some type of chemistry with those guys. And just to segue back just real quickly with the defense, it's been years and years since Sir Alex Ferguson has gone, and you could still arguably say that his pairing of Phil Jones and Smalling is the best. So that's definitely a problem that needs to be addressed going forward.
Dane, here you're looking at this match. I mean, you were up 2-0 at the half. You could have been up 4-0, though, don't you think?
Yeah. No, yes, we absolutely could have. It was crazy considering that, just for a little perspective, Newcastle hadn't had a lead this season yet, hadn't taken the lead in the game until Kennedy scored. But yeah, it is definitely frustrating to look back on this game and not just have the 2-0 lead, but as you say, Rhett, the multiple chances to extend that, De Gea makes a great point-blank save on Muto. It's a header from a foot out. And then the referee, Anthony Taylor, who I think was born in Old Trafford, misses an absolute stone.
Oh, there was one on our end.
Do you guys miss one too?
Well, at that point, we would have made the game 3-0.
See, the difference is you guys would have scored your PK, and we would have missed ours.
Well, maybe not. But anyway, yeah, there were a myriad of chances that we let go begging. And I'm torn because, yes, I want to be upset and I want to be disappointed and want more from the players. But as a Newcastle fan, the reality has been for a while now that the truth is these players are doing their best and they're just very limited. I mean, this is a vast majority of this team was the team that was in the championship. So as frustrated and as upset as I am, a little perspective is probably in order because, I don't think it's for lack of trying that we didn't get that third goal, which I think would have been decisive in our favor.
Dana, I was going to bring this up later, but I'm going to stay with you just for a second. I can't believe your players weren't more motivated. Ashley said he was going to pay for a vacation if they stayed up this year. And so, I mean, that should be motivation enough, don't you think, Dane?
Yeah. Oh, you'd think so. It's absolutely a ridiculous thing. If you hadn't heard that Mike Ashley took the players out for a pizza night, like you do with your third grade team, and you promise them a trip at the end of the year. He seriously did this, and it's example 8,491 of why Mike Ashley is out of touch and just doesn't understand modern football in any way. He's a miser and an idiot, and as soon as he's gone from Newcastle will be the moment when we can actually start to build something. But yeah.
And for all of your and for all of your knockoff jersey needs, please go to Sports Direct. Okay, that's my segue. All right, PK second half action. Juan Mata. All right, Arlo White said Mata breathes life in Marino's reign. Do you agree with that statement?
That goal did. I don't know if the player did, but that goal did. It's very interesting looking at the interviews after the game. Mata was quoted saying, "We tried everything." They did. They had Matic playing center back. They had Pogba center back. They tried in 25 minutes. They tried a bunch of different things and they figured it out. We were messaging all each other during the game. And I'm like, the players are figuring this out. Josie let it go. Josie mentioned at halftime they spent 2 minutes on tactics. They opened up their hearts, and they had one-on-one conversations for 8 minutes. So I think the tide's turning where they're realizing they're all in this together and they need to figure it out. And I think you saw that the second half of that game.
Ryan, Martial, Sanchez, Rashford, we've talked about Lukaku just recently. Sanchez has the goal. Martial has a pretty goal with a wonderful assist from Pogba. who should the front three of Manchester United be right now?
I really, really think that Lukaku needs a break. Unfortunately, it's too little too late. We do have a lot of very important matches coming up. I think he should have had a break from Newcastle and a break a couple weeks ago. But I hope to think that that goal scored by Sanchez, you saw how much that meant to him. He wanted to rip off his kit, and then he kind of withdrew, probably knowing he'd get the yellow card. But I hope this is a turning point for him. I'd love to see Sanchez and Martial. I know they both favor the same side, but I'd love to see him work it out. Rashford, it was just he had two golden chances and one really good half chance that just hasn't been pushed through. I don't know if it's lack of matches or anything like that. But I think, unfortunately for right now, playing Chelsea and Juventus, I'd like to see Lukaku, Sanchez, and Martial start up front.
Okay. Hey, Matt, De Gea just keeps showing why he is United's best player.
Yeah, he continues to keep us in these games, and it's got to be incredibly frustrating for him at this point because he's doing everything absolutely he can to keep us in, and he's just not getting a whole lot of help in front of him. So, you know, thank God we still got him. Otherwise, things would be much uglier than they have been so far.
Last point, Dane, when Mario Fellini is probably the player that people love to hate, but when he's on the pitch, you just have to account for him, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, all the substitutions that Mourinho made a big difference. I know that Fellini didn't get on the score sheet, but I think Pat was talking about tactically. I mean, they just threw the kitchen sink at Newcastle in the second half. It was Fellini, it was Mata, it was Sanchez. The midfield was just flooded with attacking players. And, yeah, especially toward the end, I think the final goal, I went back and forced myself to watch the highlights. And you can see that Fellini puts off Lascelles and allows Sanchez to get in. He's a handful. Is he the prettiest player? No, clearly not. But he can definitely be effective. And, you know, for a top six side to have somebody like that off the bench, it's not the worst thing to be able to do. I don't think he's like a solution long-term for Manchester United, especially not in the middle of midfield if you're looking for like a partner for Pogba. But when you're a goal down and 10 minutes to go, yeah, he's great to have on.
All right. So I want to get a couple of comments about Newcastle United. And so I want to ask you about this, Dane, first. Muto with the goal. Is he your answer at the head of the line?
He might have to be because we don't have very many other options. Most of this season we've gone with Hoselu, who is, I'm sure, a nice guy, but he's just not very good at soccer. And then our other big signing of the year was a loan signing of Solomon Rondon in from West Brom. He's hardly kicked a ball so far this season. Muto might just be that guy. He's kind of similar to how Dwight Gale was. I thought his movement was excellent. He was fast. He was tricky. He was clinical in front of goal when he had the chance. So, I know it's a couple of weeks out, but he would be my choice to lead the line next game when Newcastle play Brighton. And he's going to kind of have to be. We don't have too many other options, really.
Well, Dane, I tell you what, you say that, but Alexander Mitrovic would certainly be a great option at the head of the line right now, the way he's playing for Fulham.
Yes, but not for Newcastle, unfortunately. He's a good player, but he and Rafa do not gel together. He doesn't fit in Rafa's system. I think they tried to make it work, but for whatever reason, Benita certainly wasn't willing to change his system to fit Mitrovic, and clearly Mitrovic wasn't capable or willing to change his game to fit Newcastle. So good luck to him. I still have a place in my heart for him because he's crazy and I love him because he's a wacko. But we'll see. He's had a good start, but Fulham still only have 5 points from 8 games. It's not like they're going to go to Europe or anything this year. So we'll see.
Last thing on Newcastle, Newcastle legend Alan Shearer said, If I was a player at that team dinner on Wednesday and he offered me that, I would have told him to shove it where the sun don't shine. I would have said, instead of spending money on a holiday, spend it on the football club and back the manager. Do you agree with that statement?
I mean, it's spot on, as usual, from Alan Shearer. People for years have been imploring Mike Ashley to put money into this club, and especially since Rafa Benitez has taken over, that's really all it needs. It doesn't need significant, crazy investment. We're only talking about an extra, you know, 30, 40 million here or there just to bring in some players.
Half a Pogba transfer.
Yeah, I saw a crazy, I saw a crazy stat that Alexis Sanchez cost as much as the Newcastle starting 11, a substitute. But anyway, yeah. I mean, yes, the team is in dire need of investment, and we're never going to have a better manager to take us forward. As for what Shearer said, I mean, he's bang on, but it's very telling, not only that does Mike Ashley not invest in the club over his 10-year reign, but two of the most important figures in Newcastle history, Alan Shearer and Kevin Keegan, are not wanted at the club. They're not wanted in an ambassadorial sense. They're not welcome to come. I mean, Kevin Keegan just came out with a book recently where he's basically said he's been banned from St. James's Park, which, I mean, could you imagine, like, Alex Ferguson even somebody like, Cantona or Van Nistelrooy not being allowed to come back to Old Trafford? I mean, it's bonkers, and it's frustrating, and I hope it ends soon. I hope he's gone. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but it's the hope that you kind of have to keep clinging to. But I'll cut it short because I could literally talk about why Mike Ashley's a bad person for a whole hour, so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, on behalf of Manchester United, I do hope Newcastle United stays up. That's the kind of club we need in the Premier League. And so you being down in the Championship is like Leeds United being in the Championship. They need to be in the Premier League as well. So, but hey, Matt Hutchinson, STLFC, win and we're in, tie and we're in. We might even be able to lose and we're in. But beating Tulsa last night 1-0 really kind of puts him in the driver's seat.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was a great game last night. We ended up beating Tulsa 1-0. Corey Hertzog scores in the 14th minute. Nice goal from inside the box. Just a really, really good game all around. Gomez with another shutout. So team's really looking good. They seem to finally have found some form, some consistency with Pulis. I believe it's been 7 straight wins at home. So Soccer Park's become quite a fortress. Unfortunately, we're going to be on the road most likely the entire time of the playoffs. So, and we have struggled on the road this year, but the team has finally seemed to gel. It's a great group of guys. Like you said, so on Saturday we play OKC at 7:30 at Soccer Park. If you don't have tickets, get them now. It's going to sell out. Win, we're in. 1 point from a draw, we're in. And a loss, it could still work out. So, it's looking like we finally might make our first playoff appearance in club history, and it's exciting. So get out there Saturday, maybe your last chance to see them in person in St. Louis, and hopefully they go on a nice run, and we'll keep watching them on TV.
PK, we mentioned Pulis, the coach there. What's the difference between him and Preki with the success of STLFC?
I think the guys are buying in to what's going on, and they're playing for each other. Preki brought in a bunch of his old boys that were, you know, a year or two later on from their championship. It was just a different locker room. I think the guys are playing for each other now, and they're fun to watch. And I won't make it because I will be going into the SIUE Hall of Fame on Saturday.
Ball clap. That's yes,
just sneak that in there. No big deal. Yeah. If the team you played on is not being inducted into the Hall of Fame, you should be at the Soccer Park on Saturday.
So, Ryan, so STLFC, great atmosphere there at Soccer Park. Could you imagine STLFC being this close to the playoffs 2 years ago when Dale Shilley was at the helm?
No, not at all. And it's been a long time coming. And just a quick pitch for anyone who's out there in the area. guys, get your tickets. Even going into next year, talking there, it's cheap. It's great fun. It's really good family atmosphere. It's kind of a good thing when you go to a professional game. Go in when you want, leave when you want. There's not huge lines. Great beer selection. The food's really reasonable. It's a fantastic time. Dan, the mayor of Manchester United, and I, we've been going ever since game one, and we've loved going ever since. And it's fun to be a part of a team who's hopefully found their stride now.
Matt, I think we were giving away some tickets to that game. Is that right? Who won the pair for Saturday night's contest?
We did give away tickets, and we are giving the tickets away to, let me pull up the name. They are going to Josh Grooms. So Josh will reach out to you.
Congratulations.
He's got two tickets to the game, Section 6 on Saturday, and I'll reach out to you.
All right, Josh, hey, congratulations on that. Thanks a lot for promoting the show. By the way, guys, over 20% of our audience comes from the United Kingdom. So that's kind of pretty cool. And then, of course, our 7% Shalom comes from Israel. Ooh. And so we are definitely international here. But the big
Shalom.
News here, and that's great news from STLFC. But, Dane, MLS to STL Part 2. Can you believe this might actually even be happening?
Well, I'm wrapping my head around it because it did kind of come out of nowhere. Unlike the last bid, this one really—I thought the last bid was legitimate, but this one really seems to have a lot of legs behind it. Obviously, the people from Enterprise and Kavanaugh from Worldwide Technology and STLC—it's very exciting. But we've all been burned by stuff like this before, but man, it looks really, really good. No public money or hardly any public money involved. Exciting stadium location right there at Union Station. I mean, it sounds really, really good on paper. I guess we'll just have to see how things unfold over the next couple of months, though.
PK, what makes this so different than the first bid?
I think it's the no public money thing. I was involved with the first run, and everyone's still burned by the Rams and unhappy about things. I think, you know, the Taylor family, thank you guys for stepping up. It's huge. St. Louis FC was the only lower division team that Enterprise sponsored in the entire world, and they sponsor sports everywhere. So there was always a relationship there, and I'm glad that, you know, everyone's getting together on this, and I think they're going to make it happen. I hope they do. I hope we didn't miss our shot timing-wise with MLS, but, man, it's just such a great fit for the league and for the city and everything going on, and it'd be great. It'd be fantastic.
Ryan, we have Jim Kavanaugh once again involved in the project, but while the Taylor family's involved, this is going to be a club run by a woman. I believe this is the only club, major club in the United States that will have female ownership. I think that's kind of big, don't you?
Well, I think it's big for MLS for sure. I actually think there's a couple others ran the United States, but just beyond that, this does seem like a perfect fit. I hope it gets done. The town's been thirsty for soccer for years. I can remember going to ambush games as a kid. Obviously, when STLFC came along, you know, that was a really huge deal for me, just being a kind of in-the-closet soccer fan, because obviously this is a baseball town, and then obviously you have the Blues here. So I'm really hoping this will happen. It just seems in my mind that MLS wants to make it happen here in St. Louis. So just to kind of echo PK, I hope we did not lose our chance.
Dane, do you think St. Louis will support a Major League Soccer team?
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. I think the location definitely helps out. It being downtown, it being right there at Union Station, right in between the newly minted Enterprise Center and Busch Stadium. But I think you only need to look at the kind of crowds that STLFC is drawing, and that they've consistently drawn very well over it. Not, I mean, now obviously they're drawing really well because they're hopefully going to be in the playoffs in about a week here, but even through some of the doldrums, they were still getting 4,000 people, 5,000 people. I mean, I've seen it with my own two eyes down at the Amsterdam, just how much this town loves soccer. I don't think there's any doubt that St. Louis has the capacity and the hunger and the desire to support an MLS team. And I think it would just be, like everybody else said, I'm just going to echo it. I think it would be a fantastic fit and just perfect for the city.
All right. Hey, before we're going to end the show on this, hey, Matt Hutchinson, St. Louis Red Army, looking to buy some new scarves this year. You're looking for ideas. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're working with Jimmy Blood, who's in our group. He's going to help us design the scarf. So we've got a post up there on the Facebook group page, just looking for a few more ideas. And so we'll give it a few more days. I think by the end of Sunday, we'll kind of shut the post down, and then we'll just reach out to Jimmy. Which, by the way, congratulations, Jimmy and Maddie, on their recent wedding. And I believe they're going on their honeymoon next week. So the week after that, we'll reach out to them and have them start pulling some ideas together. So just try and jump on the message board in the next few days, share what you think we ought to do with it, and I'll keep you all posted.
Okay. Letting us know that we're at the end of the show. I'm your host, Red Oldham, along with the rest of the crew, Patrick Kelly, Ryan Kazout, Matt Hutchinson, and special guest, Dane Watkins. We'll be back next Thursday at 10 p.m. with another installment of Talk Manchester United and with the St. Louis Red Army, where we will talk about all things United. Thanks for joining us, and remember, glory, glory.